Okay. Praise the Lord.
All right, praise the Lord.
Thanks for joining us tonight. And we're going to start with a USP.
Right, so repeat after me. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus,
Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus,
I'm not aware of any sins.
I'm not aware of any sins.
In the name of Jesus,
In the name of Jesus,
thank you for cleansing me
thank you for cleansing me
of all
of
unrighteousness,
all unrighteousness,
according to 1 John 1 9.
according to 1 John 1 9.
Praise the Lord, Jesus.
Okay, so we're going to share a screen and go to our teaching. Okay, having some technical challenges tonight. We'll be right with you. Okay, I think we're good now.
Okay, great.
Praise the Lord.
You
So we're going to be continuing what we started last week. Love One Another, part one was last Wednesday. It was actually for honoring Valentine's Day, and we are saying that God's love is better than Valentine's Day, because 1 John 4:7-8 says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God."
may God show his love in a very tangible way today. In the name of Jesus, we pray.
And throughout the series, we're praying that God will show you a greater depth of his love than you've ever seen before.
The Greek word agape is all kinds of love in the New Testament. Agape love is different from other types of love. We discussed that last week. Meaning agape love is goodwill, benevolence, and willful delight in the object of love. Unlike our English word love, agape is not used in the New Testament for eros, which means romantic or sexual love, nor does it refer to, in the Greek, it's okay, to philia, which means close friendship or brotherly love in Greek. Agape love involves faithfulness, commitment, and act of the will, distinguishing the other types of love by its lofty moral nature and strong character. That's important to remember. Agape love is beautifully described in 1 Corinthians 13. If I could speak in tongues of men and even of angels, but have not love, the reason intentional spiritual devotion such as inspired by God's love for us, I'm only a noisy gong or clanging cymbal. Have prophetic powers, the gift of interpreting the divine will and purpose, understand all the secret truths and mysteries, and possess all knowledge. I have sufficient faith so that I can remove mountains, but have not God's love in me, and I'm nothing, a useless nobody.
Now, we really know this scripture, but we're digging deep so that we could walk in a greater degree of God's love, because it was God's love that sent his only begotten son to earth to die at Calvary. And because of Jesus's love for us, he allowed himself to be crucified and go down to redeem us. And who knows what he entailed there, but he had to give up everything. He gave up his godly nature to become man. What are we willing to give up? What else are we willing to do so that we could show God our love for him and reciprocate in the manner in which that God the Father and Jesus the Son has given to us, and the Holy Spirit's here to guide us? And is he wanting us to spend more time with him so that he could lead us and guide us? What is it that we could do to increase our love for others and consider them in a more gracious way and grow in love so much that we don't get offended anymore? I know that I've been challenged with getting offended, and I don't want that to happen in my life. I want to love that person enough that I could operate in the fruit of self-control, to bite my tongue, to not get upset, and to minister to that person instead of getting angry at them. And so even if I have faith to remove mountains and I'm praying all these prayers and wonderful things are happening because of that, I want to start using the fruit of the Spirit more and more and more as, you know, like when we say our spiritual thermostat. Am I, you know, operating God's love, joy, peace, patience? Am I using self-control? Am I using God's faith? And sometimes we just roll over that love, joy, peace, patience, you know, mm-hmm. And it is what I'm saying loving, even if someone is not saying something loving to me. I want to go to that next level. And I pray that we all can go to that next level.
It is not conceited, arrogant, and play with pride. It is not rude, unmannerly, does not act unbecomingly. Love, God's love in us, does not insist on its own rights or its own way, for not self-seeking. It's not touchy or fretful or resentful, takes no account of the evil done to it, pays no attention to a suffered wrong. Think about that last line. What did Jesus do at the cross? He forgave everybody. He thinks no attention about that suffering. That's how much he loved us. That they beat him, scourged him, mutilate him beyond recognition. And he says, forgive them. And we have to be that way. We have to love everybody that way. It's not easy. I'm not saying it's easy, but that's where we have to go. It does not rejoice in injustice or unrighteousness, but rejoice when right and truth prevail. Love bears up under anything and everything that comes, is ever ready to believe the best of every person. Its hopes are faithless under all circumstances and endures everything without weakening.
Yeah, without weakening. Because sometimes some people don't seem like they just want to give up, you know, if they continue loving someone that's giving them a hard time. So I want to encourage you, don't give up on people. Just keep praying for them. I was praying for somebody who wanted a prayer session and had missed two of them and without calling or canceling. And I, you know, couldn't accommodate that anymore, but didn't stop praying for that person for about 3.5 years. And finally that person came back eventually and said, you know, I do want prayer. I do need help. And now that person has really grown in the things of the Lord. What if I didn't keep reaching out to that person and keep trying to extend love to that person? What if I was just offended, you know, blew off the appointment, no call, no show.
Right.
Oh, you know, that person doesn't want help. But the Lord just put that love in my heart. And sometimes we have to go the extra mile. Amen.
Well, it never fails, never fades out, it becomes obsolete or comes to an end. As for prophecy, the gift of interpreting the divine will and purpose, it will fulfill, be fulfilled and pass away. As for tongues, they will be destroyed and cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. It will lose its value and be superseded by truth. For our knowledge is fragmentary, incomplete and imperfect, and our prophecy, our teaching is fragmentary, incomplete and imperfect. When the complete and perfect total comes, the incomplete and imperfect vanish away, become antiquated, void, and superseded.
Well, we know the scripture very well. I wanted to look at the Amplified Classic, and we know that there will be things that will cease. There will be things that we will not have completely, but we will always have God's love. I mean, I think that's awesome, you know?
And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. You know, we're all about love. We love each other in this group. We love together. We support each other. We pray for each other. We care for each other. And that's because we love each other. But love one another, part two. Great. Let love guide your live. Is your life?
It's supposed to be life.
Okay. Guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it flow the issues of life. Now pay attention to this. It's very easy to have a hardened, challenged heart with all the issues you see on TV and hear on the media. Okay? We cannot let that affect us. I don't care what somebody doing we think is wrong. We forgive them. We love them. We don't have to agree with them, but we have to forgive them and walk in love at all times. When you hear the word of God, your heart is either softened or hardened. Now, I'll bet you all of us have been in this situation. Somebody's having a challenge. You try to talk to them about Jesus or about the Bible, and they'll say, oh, no, don't give me that God thing. Oh, no, because their heart's already hardened. They don't want to hear it. Now, unless they're willing to listen, I don't talk to anybody anymore. Okay? I just have to. Sorry, something might help train of thought there. You saw her. Oh. We just have to always love and let the people be willing to hear the word of God before we try to jam it down their throat. Because that doesn't work for anybody. We don't jam it down anybody's throat. I shouldn't have said it that way. I apologize for that. But they think you're trying, even though they're offering a polite suggestion, they think you're trying to jam something down and they will harden up. But with the word of God, the right person will soften. Their heart will be open to receive. And that's the opportunity, the door you're looking for to go through.
Yeah, I think that we're learning to have more wisdom of how to minister to people so that they will receive, and in a way that is diplomatic. And when we don't guard our heart with all diligence, say we get upset, then we let our guard down, what's going to happen? Then they're not going to hear what you're saying, because they may be hardening their heart because they might be offended that you're angry or upset, or if I was angry or upset, and then we're at an impasse and we don't want strife. We try very hard not to have strife. We know that that is an awful thing, and it brings confusion in every evil work. And we have to continue to work really hard not to operate in that as our norm. And if it does happen, then we, you know, repent and we deal with that and ask God to help us walk more in love. And so we need our hearts softened as well to always be prayed up. And we've learned School of Hard Knocks that before we have meetings, we really have to have everyone pray before mm-hmm. we start. And that's really important. And when our heart is softened to God, it's because we're being obedient to the word of God and we're doing what the word of God says. But if we neglect that, we're going to have challenges. So I have learned that I see anger as a precursor to robbing that situation of love. And perfect love casts out all fear. And so we can't be angry or fearful if we want God's perfect love to operate in our lives. And if we see any fear in our lives, it means that we haven't perfected our love of God and love of his word, because love means trust. And if I trust God, I wouldn't be afraid of him helping me. If I trust his word, I wouldn't be afraid that it's not going to work for me. Or I'm going to say, the word of God says, have faith and patience. And how many of us throw the patience part out and just stand in faith, not remembering that we have to keep fighting the good fight of faith till we see the manifestation of what we believed we received when we prayed. And so when you're standing in the gap for a loved one and interceding, we need a lot more patience. When we are talking to someone who is being offensive or have a failed expectation of them, we need to have our hearts more softened to have more patience with them as well, because God had patience with us to bring us to the place where we are today. Yes. Right. And so if we start utilizing the love of God to guide our lives in every situation, then we will be able to even see our own hearts softening to people who we thought were very challenging, and be able to pray more for them. If it's a relationship that you want to continue with and bond and build that relationship, every relationship will have challenges. It's how do you overcome those challenges? And just because you have a disagreement doesn't mean it's going to ruin your relationship. You just have to work on reconciliation. And if someone has a complaint, doesn't necessarily mean it's strife, because someone needs to tell the other person the truth of something that's bothering them, but try to work it out amicably. So I always try to do this. I live by this rule of agree to disagree, but not be disagreeable. And when we are disagreeable, then we ask for forgiveness. We try to work it out and try to listen to each other. Both sides need to listen to each other, because it does say in Proverbs that you need to listen to both sides and weigh it before you make a decision, and give that brother or sister the opportunity to speak out what's bothering them and hear their side of the story before you make a decision. And I think that's an important thing to remember. And if you aren't given that opportunity, well, then you go to the Lord and speak it out to him. And what we're going to ask God to help us and guide us how to intercede through the situation so we can get resolution.
Okay. Your heart is softened to God by obedience to the word. We must remember our obedience to the word leads us and guides us in everything we do.
Yeah, because it's better to obey than to sacrifice.
Okay. Now, let love guide your live again. Okay.
Sorry about that. I'm gonna fix it.
All obedience to the golden rule, which is to love God and love your neighbor. So obedience, soften your heart, let the anointing flow out. Therefore, think, do, and speak love, let God's power work on your behalf. Remember, Jesus said, love your enemies. And that means we can't have any hate in our heart at all. They may upset you, they may frustrate you, I don't care what they've done to you, we have to love them. Now, that's not for their benefit, it's for your benefit. If you're loving them, you're not in unforgiveness. And if you're not in unforgiveness, then tormentors can't come upon you. God will take care of them in his own time, in his own way, okay? But we must walk in love with one another. And go back to what Pastor Cameron was talking earlier. When we had the healing rooms, there were two people, very, very wonderful people. But Satan had set up a miscommunication, and they became very offended at each other. So we sat them down. It's okay. Person A, give me your side. Person B, give me your side. And when they realized the miscommunication, they talked it all out, and they were great friends. But as long as they were thinking what the devil planted inside of them, they were having a challenge. Once they explained everything out, which took away the devil's ability to confuse the communication, they were fine. So it's simply a matter of sitting down, talking things out, reasoning things out. And we can disagree with things, but we don't have to be disagreement, argumentative about it. Okay, Karen?
Right. And the Lord uses us a lot of times to help people who has had strife, and to help with reconciliation. So we're so happy that that had worked out. Now they've been friends for many, many years.
Well, about 2 decades now, yeah.
Yeah. And so we have to see that if we're loving God, then we need to show his kind of love to everyone, regardless how they are treating us. And we have to ask God to help us to improve in that area. I know I need a lot of help in that area sometimes.
I have no idea what you're talking about, dude.
And so as we know that the anointing breaks every yoke of bondage, right? So whatever challenges that need to be broken, we need stronger anointing. So in Hebrews 4:10, if we are able to allow that softening in our heart with the word of God, with the love of God, then we'll have more anointing so that we could share with that person. And if we're walking in that anointing, then we should not have challenges with strife. It'll be easier for us to be able to express the fruit of the Spirit and develop more of the fruit that we are weak in. And the devil will always give us that lab test for the opportunity to see if we're walking in the fruit of the Spirit. So let God's power work on your behalf to let love guide your life in a deeper, stronger way. And what we're doing is asking the Heavenly Father to make himself so tangible to you during this series in a greater way, to open up your heart to a deeper kind of love and the things that we need to change. Each of us will be better than before. And we're using this as our...
I'm sorry. I said, don't worry about it. It's no big deal.